The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan, now joined by Adam Teichler with ESPN. Adam, what the hell? The Chiefs had a 14-0 lead. They blow it. 19 unanswered the second half. Head's got to roll, Adam. I'm not going to stand for this.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That was a pretty ugly second half.
Right.
I don't blame you at all, man.
Yeah. Can't believe it.
Good thing most of those guys aren't going to be around when it starts counting, right?
That's exactly right. And so somebody, I actually did get an email. Somebody was very mad at what happened in the fourth quarter. I said, well, you're in luck. You won't see very many of those players ever again if you
I'll say this. There seems to be this thing going around that the Chiefs are really deep, you know, that they're going to be cutting a lot of guys who are going to be catching on with other teams. I don't know that I agree with that. I felt that way before Saturday's game. I don't know that they are real deep. It's not like they have a bad roster or anything like that, for sure. I mean, but their seasons, I've felt a little stronger about that in camp than I do this year, that how many guys are going to catch on somewhere else. So not to say they might not, spin somebody off and get a draft pick or something like that, but I don't think this is going to be a year where there's a ton of guys that the Chiefs cut that everybody's going to flock to. I just don't see it.
Well, let's dig into that. Let's get specific here. What position or positions do you feel like the depth could be an issue?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily depth on the what they're going to keep on the 53. I think it's more, hey, they're not like 1 through 90. A great team. I mean, I don't see the 53 through 90 being a real just with a bunch of guys who can play here. I mean, I think at some spots, I think the roster decisions are going to be kind of easy, and I'll look at wide receiver, for instance. I think the only decision now at wide receiver is whether they keep 5 or 6 and whether that if they only keep 5, whether that 6th guy or the 5th guy is Justin Watson or Darius Fountain. I think it's probably going to be Watson at this point. And, I don't know if the Chiefs want to lose Fountain right now, but, we'll see. I mean, they do have some depth at running back. They do have some depth at tight end. So I don't know if this is a year you want to keep 6 wide receivers. So, and on the offensive line, they've got we know what they've got at the starters, and there's a couple guys that I like in terms of backups, but I don't know that there's a wealth of great players on that offensive line beyond the starting lineup. So that's another spot that maybe the Chiefs might want to be looking around for some help, backup help. I'm not talking about starters here. So those are a couple spots that I don't think are particularly deep. I think the Chiefs are okay right now, but if they have an injury or two, maybe they've got some trouble.
I mean, Watson, that's the number 5 guy. There's no question there, it seems like, unless he gets hurt. He's done everything in camp, and then he was the most productive receiver in the game. But that 6, so if let's say 6 wide receivers, I mean, is Josh Gordon even – are we even talking about him right now?
I tweeted at halftime. I tweeted the snap counts for the skilled positions because I thought that was a pretty good look at what the Chiefs are thinking. That's a pretty good hint at to what they want to do at those positions. And it was most telling, I thought, of tight end, running back, and wide receiver. I thought it was most telling at wide receiver because the guys who played the most snaps were the 4 main guys, meaning Sky Moore, McCole Hardman, Juju, and MVS. And then also the next 2 were Fountain and Watson. Those were the 6 guys who played in the first half, except for Josh Gordon got 1 snap. So that tells you a little bit. If you didn't play or you only got one snap in the first half, you're on the outside looking in. So I challenge anybody who's been to camp every day to say they've seen anything from Josh Gordon over the last few weeks that would lead you to believe he's anything close to being the player he was back in his prime. So I just don't see it right now. You throw in the fact that he doesn't play on special teams, and it's really an uphill battle. I can't see it with him right now.
So, Adam, you mentioned the question being, will they keep five or six wide receivers? And we were talking, Stephen and I, earlier about how many running backs they're going to keep. Do you think those two things are directly related?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you can't – I think they're going to keep four tight ends, okay? Kelce, Noah Gray, Blake Bell, and Jody Fortson. So, you know, if you do that and your depth – where's your depth beyond that? You know, is your depth at running back or is it at tight end? Is it wide receiver? I think it's at running back. You know, I still think Ronald Jones has a shot to make the team. This is not – it's similar but not the same as what Carlos Hyde went through a few years ago. I mean, Carlos Hyde wasn't getting any work at practice, and you know, Ronald Jones is not getting a ton for sure right now, but there are times when he does. So I think that the depth looks to me like it's at running back and not at wide receiver, but the Chiefs may disagree with me there and may go with a sixth guy, which in this case would be Darius Fountain. But I think you know that is one spot where they've got guys who can play, and I'm talking about running back now. So you know, I think they can go four deep if they want to, and I'm not talking about the fullback now. I'm just talking about running back. I think they can go four deep, and at this point, it would surprise me unless they could get something for Ronald Jones. It would surprise me that they would only keep three.
Right, and also let's be honest. Clyde has not shown the ability to play 16 games.
Yep.
And Jerick McKinnon has had a host of injury issues. And then, you know, Isaiah Pacheco's a rookie. And so to me, it would make perfect sense to keep four running backs considering that, right?
Yeah, and you know, look at all the years since Andy Reid has been here, for instance, that the Chiefs have really had to dig deep into their depth at running back just about every year. You know, you can go back to Kareem Hunt's rookie year in 17. That was the last time the Chiefs really didn't need a lot of depth at running back. You know, the next year he was having another good year, Hunt was, and the Chiefs ended up cutting him before the season was over, and they needed, you know, their backups at that point. You know, in the last couple of years, as you say, Clyde hasn't been healthy, and the Chiefs have had to do some things there. And you remember Damian Williams wasn't healthy. He was going to be their guy in the 19 year the Chiefs ended up winning the Super Bowl. He wasn't ready to go when the season started early in the year. He wasn't much of a factor. So the Chiefs have always needed their depth. Some years they've had to go out and get guys. So I don't see any reason, if you like the guys you got, to let players go at that position. So I'm thinking this is a good year for them to keep four.
Okay, so what I liked up at camp, what I really liked when the ones were in there on Saturday defensively, is I feel like it was pretty apparent. You could see the upgrade in defensive team speed, athleticism, the youth. I know it was just a small sample size, but I mean, it was obvious. And last year, you think about players that played important roles, like Anthony Hitchens and Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen and Ben Neiman, who all appeared a step too slow to me last year. And there are going to be mistakes. There's going to be bumps in the road because it's youth. It's a lot of new parts. But I was excited to see the increase in team speed, not only in camp, but what we saw from the ones and some of the twos on Saturday. What do you think?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's not just young guys, but you know, Frank Clark, I thought, looked pretty good the other day. You know, he was chasing Justin Fields around on that one play, and he got some pressure. And so, yeah, I do think the Chiefs are in pretty good shape in that regard. So, yeah, I think it is noticeable. You know, and the one thing I think I liked the most from the defense the other day was they were able to get after the quarterback a little bit, at least in the first half. You know, Chris Jones Had that sack on the first drive, and Clark had a pressure, and Karloftis ended up getting a sack. So, you know, I think there was, you know, a couple times back up the defensive lineman, Colin Saunders and Taylor Stallworth beat a block and got into the backfield, made a play in the running game. So I think there were some things to like from the defensively. So I think that was a pretty good showing for what you you know, what the Chiefs were trying to get done. I think that's an encouraging start, no doubt.
Okay, so when it comes to getting after the quarterback, as you said, Adam, being one of the bright spots in the game, I was telling Steven this earlier, as a guy who hasn't set foot in St. Joe this year, this was my first real chance to look at anybody. But when I saw the starting lineup, they run the starting 11 out there, and they've got Frank Clark and Mike Dana as the starting edge rushers. And with, like, again, having seen not a snap of camp in person, this is an uneducated opinion, but my first reaction was, I think I like the two guys that'll be coming in after them even better in Dunlap and Karloftis. What do you think that rotation is going to actually look like once we get into the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it depends on how quickly the Chiefs are able to trust Karloftis. You know, I think that's you know, one of the things we know about Steve Spagnuolo, and we've talked about this many times, is he's pretty tough on rookies. He makes them prove over and over and over and over again that they're ready to handle what he's throwing at them. So, you know, I think once the Chiefs get comfortable with him, completely comfortable with him in that regard, I think he's going to start playing more and more. But I don't think, you know, Mike Dana's got a little something to him also. And I think you know, that's a guy who can help the Chiefs, certainly as a rotational type guy. So I wouldn't disregard him, too. I think that's a pretty good four. You know, if Frank Clark plays the way he did the other day, for instance, I think that's a pretty good four now with Clark and Dana and Karloftis and Carlos Dunlap. I think that's a pretty good four. I think you'll be happy to take that into the season if you're the Chiefs.
I'm with you. And so let's talk about interior defensive line. Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Colin Saunders, Turk Wharton had that pass deflection. The Chiefs seemed to like Taylor Stallworth, and he flashed on Saturday, and a late addition to camp, Danny Shelton. So what do you see as far as the numbers here and what the hierarchy is?
I Shelton hadn't practiced yet, so tough to say what kind of shape he's in or how much he can contribute. But, you know, I think there's some promise there as well, you know, and the Chiefs have been moving Mike Dana inside a lot and passing downs. You know, he'll shift in to the interior, so he's kind of playing a dual role. But I think the Chiefs have something to work with there, too. I mean, we know what Chris Jones is, of course, and we know what Derek Nnadi is. I mean, he's mainly a first and second down type guy, but that's okay. You know, that's what the Chiefs expect out of him. So I think there's some depth there, too. I mean, I think the Chiefs will be okay there at those spots as long as they stay healthy.
Anything surprise you or maybe did you learn anything specifically from special teams over the weekend?
Yeah, I didn't like some of the decisions that the returners made, and I'm particularly talking about Sky Moore here. I think there's some work to be done there. I don't know. I'll put it this way. From what I saw, just basing this off the game alone on Saturday, I don't know that I would trust him yet. I don't think he would be my number one punt returner. I don't like the idea of using a guy like Trent McDuffie, who's a full-time player on one side of the ball or the other, but he looks to me like to be the most, the safest pick. You know, guy's not going to get you beat by making a bad decision or fumbling the ball or anything like that. Maybe he's not, doesn't have the most upside in terms of, you know, scoring a touchdown for you. But I think right now I would trust Trent McDuffie more than I would Sky Moore. So maybe that's the kind of thing that stood out, other than, of course, the Chiefs might have a competition for their kicker spot right now, right?
That was fun to watch. But, hey, but you know, this so that's a kind of a sore spot for me when you talk about punt returner, because I don't want Trent McDuffie, one of my top corners out there, taking hits as a punt returner. He's too important to the defense, I think. Now when you look at punt, and I get it, Dave Tobe, he's always thinking about the big play. Honestly, Adam, I just want the guy to catch the ball, get off the field, and hand the ball to Mahomes. And he said in the past, when we asked about Justin Watson, he'll catch it. He's probably the best guy to catch it back there. He just won't do much with it. Okay, sign me up, catch it, and don't do much with it. And maybe that's just being too conservative, but I don't need big plays. I need the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. And so I'm with you. Sky Moore's never done it before. So, of course, there's going to be some rough patches. And I guess if they're not willing to give it to Watson, is there a path for a guy like Corey Coleman to be the sixth receiver and be a return guy and a special teams guy? Because I think that is an interesting decision they have to make there at punt returner.
Yeah. No, I don't see it with him, with Coleman. That first half was not – it wasn't surprising in terms of what we've seen up here in River or in St. Joe, but it was surprising in that the Chiefs laid it out that clearly on their first exhibition game, what they think about their receivers. The fact that Coleman did not even get one snap in the first half when the Chiefs were trying to make some things work offensively, they just weren't emptying the bench, would indicate to me that he's got a long way to go. So I don't see it with Corey Coleman. I don't think he's going to make it. I think it's going to be one of the rookies. I really do. I think it's either going to be Moore or McDuffie. And if the Chiefs don't like that, maybe it's they'll go back to Mecole Hardman. But so they do have some options there. And I'm going to disagree with you, Stephen, on this. I don't mind them going for it with the punt returns. I don't mind them trying to score points that way. I think Chiefs, that's not a bad way for them to go. So they've been rewarded for that in the past. And let me say right now another thing. I'm not ready to give up on Sky Moore as a punt returner. I saw how far that Niall Davis came with the Chiefs when he was returning kickoffs. I mean, when they started looking at him doing that, he could barely even catch the ball. I mean, it was you were like, no, this is never going to work. And it turned out he turned into a pretty good returner, right? He made the single biggest play of the Chiefs' first or only postseason win in like 25 years, right? So I'm not ready to give up on Sky Moore. I just don't think it's there yet. Maybe they can get there with him by the start of the regular season. I don't know. But I right now, I'm not sure I trust him.
Right, he just hasn't done it, and he didn't do it in college. But like for me, to clarify, that's fine. Then if you want the big play, use Mecole Hardman. But I'm not willing to risk Trent McDuffie. That risk reward, it's not worth it to me to risk my one or two corner.
Well, you're risking one of your top wide receivers, one of your speed guys, and the Chiefs are going to do a lot of things with him on offense this year. They're not without Tyreek Hill, he becomes suddenly a little more indispensable. So you're putting somebody in harm's way there, whether it's McDuffie or Hardman or whoever. So I hear you there, but I don't think that's necessarily a risk-free strategy right there either.
I wonder why they haven't at least considered Pacheco a punt returner.
Well, it's different skills for different guys. It's not everybody can do both, and most guys, there are a lot of guys who can't. So you need just different skills. Punt return maybe is a little more quickness than it is straight line speed. So I think Pacheco looks to me like a guy who's more suited to kick returns as opposed to punt returns.
So where's your money at? The punt returner week one against the Cardinals is who?
I'm going to go with McDuffie. I just think he's the most reliable guy. And right now, I think the Chiefs are probably in that spot. I can't imagine them throwing Sky Moore out there in a real game without him showing a little more than they did the other night in terms of better judgment, letting balls bounce, that kind of thing. So I think I'll put my money on Trent McDuffie right now, but certainly there's plenty of time for that to change.
A couple things to point out, too. I mean, Mecole Hardman really struggled fielding punts his first year in training camp, and obviously has turned himself into a big weapon there. So, like you said, we give more of the chance to grow in it. You think there's any chance they just use a rotation? Maybe let if it's a specific situation where they think there's a good chance or an important opportunity for return, they put Hardman back there, and then on other situations they use McDuffie or Moore. Or are they going to pick one guy and stick with him the whole game?
Well, I think we could see a situation like that. Yeah, I definitely do. You know, Dave Tobe was pretty clear about why they don't want to use Hardman there anymore, why they're going to look for somebody else at least. And that's because they don't want to take him out of the game on the first play or two of the next series because, if he gets a pretty big return, then he's going to be, you know, they're probably not going to want to use him on the first play or two of the next series. So they don't want to kind of lose that option with him. And I don't know that, I can see the Chiefs mixing it up a little bit, that maybe they'll use him a little bit and McDuffie a little bit. And again, maybe Sky Moore comes around a little bit.
I think if they need a spark or if they're down in the game, down in the second half, and they need a big play, I think they'll throw Hardman out there. Because the way they used to with Tyreek Hill, if they think they need, if it's about what they need to change momentum or something like that.
I think that's reasonable to expect that to happen, yeah.
Adam, could you do me a favor? Todd Lebo was a real red ass on the show this morning. Could you keep an eye on him? He looks like he's looking for trouble today, so could you keep a short leash on him or something?
That's above my pay grade, controlling him when he gets up here. I don't think I should be put in that situation where I have to keep an eye on him.
Or maybe steer clear. He's got an attitude today, that's all.
Thanks for the warning. I will definitely do that.
Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, good stuff, guys. Talk to you then.
That's Adam Teicher steering clear of Todd Lebo and St. Joe this morning on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's give something away right now to the wonderful people listening to the show this Monday morning. How about this? Callers 8 and 10, because that's 810. See that? That's a promotion. We give you a $25 gift card to Andy's Frozen Custard. Because if you go there now, you can get the incredible Key Lime Pie Concrete. Very delicious on a hot summer day. Also, they have peach concretes and peach sundaes available for a limited time. And there's a new Andy's at the Blue Hawk Shopping Center, 159th and between Antioch and 69 Highway in Overland Park. That's 11 in KC now. And I'm going to be out there on Thursday, August 25th with Andy. I'll be out there from 3 until 5, and we're going to have a big grand opening Thursday, August 25th. But callers 8 and 10 get a $25 gift card to Andy's Frozen Custard. Nate Bucati, introduce our next guest in studio.
Okay, so the hottest team in Kansas City is the KC Current. They are 10 matches unbeaten. Got a big 4-3 win over the weekend and are up to a tie for second place in the NWSL, and they play a big game on Friday night against Angel City FC. There's going to be a media game at halftime, by the way, Stephen, which we could talk about in a moment.
Oh, that's surprising you'd want to talk about
that.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. I'm kind of upset. I'm kind of offended by where I was taken in the draft, but we can also get to that in a moment. But one of the goal scorers in the 4-3 win, person that actually got it started, Kristen Hamilton joins us live in studio on her day
Listen
off,
to the crowd.
By the way.
They just
yeah.
went crazy. That's unbelievable.
Well, because, I mean, this is your day off, right?
Is this
your only day of the week, and you decided to come in and hang out with us?
Yeah, I know. Lucky you guys.
We're incredibly lucky.
What would you normally do on an off day?
I'd probably be sleeping in a little bit more, but I just bought a house in Riverside, so I'm doing some yard work.
You going to the Red X yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
They got everything there, don't they?
Oh. That's our favorite spot. That's honestly our favorite spot.
5 or 6 hours, and then you don't even know why you got there to begin with. Yeah. And so when you say sleep in, what's sleep in to you?
Oh, not past like 8:30.
Right. So that, you know, you sleep in 8:30.
Sleeping for me, yeah.
But so now you got the house in Riverside. You've gone to Red X where you can get everything. You can get
you know you're really from Kansas City if you know about
right.
the Red X.
Right. That's exactly right. And so then what would you do like for the rest of your day off? Like, is there still like treatment or any kind of training, or you just like try to unwind and check out for 24 hours?
It depends on the day, but feeling pretty good after the weekend. So, we could head over to the training facility, do a little bit of recovery, make a smoothie, hang out for a
right.
bit, and then probably get back to the house, do some stuff. Bought a PS5 in the house, so
okay.
been playing some Fortnite. Not too good yet, but maybe we'll be on Twitch soon.
So that's the game of choice, Fortnite?
It is right now, yeah. But
okay. There he Marco's nodding in approval. So that's
been
what,
doing a lot of Fortnite with the nephew. That's
yeah.
the one game that I can play with.
What's
with
your handle? You got a handle in there? What do you got? You got
yeah,
a handle?
We can play trios. Let's
yeah,
go.
What's your handle?
Trios. It's I bought my friend off my Xbox. It's like Soft Elephant 269. I know. Yeah, I know. Listen, it's my buddy. You just had to ask.
The look on Steven's face. Soft Elephant 269.
I'm going to go ahead and say that we're going to put a pin in that for later. I apologize. I don't know. You want to give your hand? I'm going to guess your handle's not Soft Elephant 4528.
My handle's not Soft Elephant. Yeah. They call me Handyman around the house. I do
okay.
things like that. So it's Handy Hammy.
Okay, so that
Handy Hammy,
handy
I like
hammy.
That.
Makes
I know.
Sense. I mean, if
makes
you're
sense.
If you're like online looking for someone to play a game with, and their handle's Soft Elephant, you're probably not gonna.
Yeah.
You're probably gonna just go right past that one, don't
probably,
you think?
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say, Nate.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't either. I was kind of like in Marco's boat. My son lives in his bedroom playing video games. We have to drag him out. To get him to convince him to eat lunch or do anything else like that. But so Fortnite's the one game that I've been able to play with him too. And so I haven't played with him in a while though, but we'll have to, you know, maybe we could get on. I'll play duos with you.
Let's go.
So you're getting good at it?
Elizabeth Ball, she's
yeah.
she's really the one I've been playing with a lot.
Yeah.
Maddie Nolf, Addie Merrick, a couple of us have been playing, but he really carries the team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just there. I just snipe.
Yeah.
People, so.
I'm a medic. That's what I tell
yeah.
myself. I get all like the medical
yeah.
supplies, and then whenever there's a shootout, I hide somewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
And then if somebody gets like knocked down, I go like, you
yeah.
know, fix them up, and then I go back and hide.
Exactly.
Because I'm not going to be able to win any shootouts.
Yeah, same. She just floods everyone out.
Yeah.
I just stand on top of the mountain
yeah.
and just
snipe.
See what I can get.
I like it. So, Handy Hammy, have you had to fix a lot of things around the house?
Haven't had to, but I do enjoy doing that
yeah.
stuff. I fixed up a house in Denver, so we just had some little projects around the house.
How
so.
did you grow up doing stuff like that? How did you get good? Because Steven's a real handy guy. Yeah.
I don't, I can't fix anything. And it's funny too, because my wife, she knows how to fix everything, and it's embarrassing,
mm-hmm.
but she can do anything. I can do nothing, but I can talk, and so that's
you know what I did.
Hey, balance.
That's
balance.
Exactly right.
This is extremely handy of me, but by my standards, I relit the pilot light on our water heater. This weekend.
Hey, it's a good step. It's a good step.
It involved pushing a button and
yep.
holding another button down for long enough, but I executed that. So how did you get good at it?
My dad's in construction.
Okay.
Grew up just kind of around it, and then just, yeah, I don't know. They call me handyman in college, too. I would always just fix stuff around our college house.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always just enjoyed it, and it just kind of came naturally. So,
you've
been doing it.
If you've bought a house here, that mm-hmm. means you like it here, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I do, yeah. I mean, I also have a 3-year contract, so.
Yeah. And you bought it in Riverside,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming because of proximity to the new amazing training facility that you guys have?
Yeah, it's like 6 minutes down the road. It's perfect.
What is it like to have that complex? I know that the big thing is the stadium, too, which is going to come online, but what's it like just to have that place to go to work every day?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, obviously, we came from Well, a lot of teams I came from are very different from,
mm-hmm.
from what we got this year. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, we have everything. We have chefs. We have a place to work out. We have lifts there. We have saunas and hot tubs and cold tubs. And, I mean, it's everything you need in one spot. So it's definitely the most professional environment that I've ever played in.
You played at the University of Denver.
Yes.
So then where did you grow up in Colorado?
I did, yep. Littleton, Colorado. Went to University of Denver.
So does it, I mean, can you tell there's a lot of hard feelings in Kansas City towards Denver because of the Chiefs-Broncos thing? But
I know.
It's just football, but then it kind of, you know, carries over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard being a Broncos fan here.
So you are a Broncos fan? That's fine.
I am. I have to be. I was born and raised.
Do you feel like
I can appreciate the Chiefs though?
What was your reaction when they traded for Russell Wilson then? Were you like, all right? Or like,
yeah. I mean, we'll see what he can do this year, right? But obviously better than what we've been having. So
well, there you go.
Can't get worse.
Okay, so you went to university there. Now you've won the championship 3 times, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And so tell me, so that's very important for a new franchise that's trying to get to where you've been 3 times. What's that like to be able to at least have that experience and try to get your teammates and try to make them understand, okay, this is where we have to get, this is what we have to be, this is what we have to do to get the title?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that I've had, you know, I've been in the league. This is my 7th season, I think, now. In the very first year, it was not a championship team, I'll say that much. So I know what it was like to go from literally the bottom my year one to year two winning the championship. Yeah, like you said, I know what it takes. It's cool to be able to just get to talk to people, get to talk to your teammates and be like, hey, I've been here. This is what we did. This is how we did it. But at the same time, every team's different and it's going to take a little bit of, I don't know. It's just different from team to team. But again, the experience of knowing like work-life balance, what it's going to take day to day on the pitch, doing extra stuff, film, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It's just experience and getting to talk to the younger ones. But, yeah, I mean.
But all the ingredients are here, all the support and everything 100%. Else, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I always say that it feels very similar to the year that I did win my first championship in Western New York. Just kind of the vibe of the team, the culture. There's no egos. There's no me. It's kind of all about the team, and that's, honestly, in my opinion, that's bigger than coaches. That's bigger than a lot of things out there, is the attitude and mentality of the players to play for each other and not go out there and be disappointed. Or obviously people are going to be disappointed if you're not playing, but to not let that affect the team culture.
So this is actually a really interesting topic because I, first of all, thoroughly enjoy watching you guys play this year.
Thank you.
Last year, it was a struggle. The team, the games were not very exciting. And sometimes you have teams that play an exciting brand of soccer, and sometimes you have teams that don't. You guys play a really exciting brand of soccer. This last game maybe is – you don't want to play a game like that every week, I'm sure. But 4-3 was crazy. But you guys seem like you're always on the attack. There seem to be multiple players on the field that are capable of scoring, and a lot of unselfish play too. I see players passing up shot opportunities to give their teammate a better – shot opportunity. How do you get that? Like, is that just you put a whole bunch of players together and hope it works out? I mean, how do you develop that type of chemistry and that type of like ethos that you guys have right now?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, you obviously pick a group of players and hope that you get players with good attitudes. I've been a part of quite a few teams, and there's definitely people who, you know, as a coach, you have to just weed out, like, pretty harshly, you know. There's mm-hmm. people who just destroy the culture of a team, who bring people down, who aren't starting and who sulk and then don't train hard, and then it just kind of deteriorates mm-hmm. from there. So mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a coach recognizing those players and then, yeah, I mean, getting a good group of players who are bought in and getting people to buy in. I think that us being in Florida this year, we went there for preseason for a month. Honestly, a little bit too long for my liking to be away. But it was really good for our culture and our development to just get there and spend time with each other and get to know people off the field, because in my opinion, you know people off the field, you're going to want to play for them more on the field. So like getting to know their story, how they got here, their mentality, their attitudes and stuff. So I don't know, it's just like building that bond between players and as a coach recognizing who's fitting into that culture and who's not and getting a team to buy in.
See, we had that conversation a little bit earlier in relation to the Chiefs and the Royals and Sporting and things that have happened the past couple of years. But when you do have someone in the locker room that might be negative, right, or that hasn't bought in, that does affect
100%.
The team. That does, because I think some people – I think some fans, when they hear us talking about it, kind of roll their eyes. Oh, you're making too much of it. No, but there is something very powerful about team chemistry, or when you have a veteran player that's not buying in or is a negative voice, that could affect that goes out on the field.
100%. Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely there. I can think of a few players. It just sucks the energy out of a locker room. Like somebody coming in from training who's obviously people are gonna be mad on any given day. It's about how you carry yourself and recognizing what environment you're in when you're expressing those emotions. So yeah, I'm gonna leave training probably pissed off some days, but I'm not gonna go and badmouth XYZ when, you know, I know people are around and I know that people like me being a veteran player might be looking up to what I'm saying, what I'm doing, how I'm acting, how I'm carrying myself. And I think that everybody kind of recognizes that here. And it's like you go home and then you have your people you talk to and you get a vent about it and you can talk about it. But it's not like we're not going to bring it to work. So when we're at work, it's about the team. It's about putting in the best effort for them. So, yeah, I mean, it 100% affects. there's no doubt that I'm like there are people who I was a part of a team and the coach would always just he's like, they don't fit the culture. They're out, like, and that's as simple as that. Like, they just don't fit into what we're doing, what we're trying to do, and, you know, find a trade, figure out how to get them move on in their career, but it's just not a fit for the team here, so.
See, Nate, stop being negative.
I'll try to be more positive.
It affects us. It affects me and Marco.
I'll do my best.
You suck the life out of us.
Well, when you bench me and I don't get my minutes, I get upset. In all seriousness, this, I think, is a really interesting topic, too. Steven helps coach his daughter's incredibly good basketball team, and I told you during the commercial break I'm the proud coach of the Glowing Dragons fifth grade girls soccer team. And I was actually talking to one of your teammates about this dynamic because I had coached my son's soccer team and I found coaching my daughter's soccer team to be a different set of challenges. On my son's soccer team, when the boys would they would fight all the time in practice, but the way they processed it was kind of this physical thing. They'd kind of get into it with each other and then they would just move on, and it wasn't like a big thing. I did not anticipate the mistreatment that the girls would do to one another in practice. And I found that I spent a lot more of my time, especially the first couple years I was coaching them, convincing them to support one another. Like a lot of exclusionary stuff. Oh, we four girls want to be over here, and we don't want you as a part, and like trying to convince them,
they tell you that? The coach?
Yeah, they would kick me, exclude me, mistreating me, and all that stuff. And I was actually talking to one of your teammates about it, and she told me that's very much something that you deal with girls growing up playing sports, getting them to row in the same direction, and maybe, you know, they can be kind of mean to each other sometimes. Is that true? Like, is that something that did you see that a lot growing up in youth sports? Or
definitely,
I know we're generalizing a little bit here, but
yeah, no, I think growing up for sure. But I feel like we hit a certain point. Like, I don't feel like that was really the case in like college and stuff. But
yeah, so once you get to a certain point of competitiveness, it gets to the point where everybody's.
Yeah, I think you have a common goal. You have a common end game. Yeah. Obviously it. It's a little bit about maturity, I think, at that point, just being like rooting for each other, supporting each other, and wanting your teammate to do well is, I don't know. I also just think it's individual, you know, based on individuals. Some people are always just going to support each other, and some people are always going to be not super supportive. So I think it's just kind of the individual personalities as well. But yeah, I think definitely growing up, you felt it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Very clicky.
That's our squad.
There you go. Look at that squad.
They look talented.
I'm the dobo. I'm the director of basketball operations. Yeah. I all the travel plans, everything. They don't let me coach.
Oh.
Or we'll lose. Okay, so.
For the record, the Glowing Dragons are very unified as a team now, but it was just something we had to work on. It seemed like it was something that was a challenge, and it makes a difference, like you said, on the field.
Okay, so I need you to give this guy advice, because you heard him mention that media game. And this is the thing, okay? Nate's very enthusiastic. He likes to take part in a lot of things. But then he gets out there, and he's got a competitive fire that he asks his body to do things that's no longer capable of in some ways. He's been injured in many of these media games. You damaged in a wiffle ball game.
I pulled my hamstring in a couple of places.
So there's a lot of things. And so could you give him some advice on how to handle himself? And also, here's the problem that we're dealing with. He's got a chip on his shoulder because he was the last pick. in this media game. And I just, what I say is you were picked. What Danny Wolniak in studio, and she is laughing up a storm right now. Were you the last pick?
I was. Okay. I was Brendan Van Langen's last pick.
So he's mentioned this enough to where I know it's bothering him.
Oh yeah.
And so what he's gonna do, and he plays in a men's league where he comes in the next day and he's hobbled, and then, so I could see this happening. He's gonna go out there and try to prove that he should not have been the last pick. But he can't do that. He's just got to go out and play his game, right? Stay within himself. Could you give him some advice about not trying to do too much on Friday?
Just get a good warm-up in. You'll be
good. Yeah, okay, warm-up. No. See,
hey,
there you go.
I was going to say, we're in the same boat. I was the dead last pick in the draft. Here we go. We can bond over this.
How did you handle that? Did you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, okay, I'll show you the last
pick. I was stoked I got picked, so.
I should just be happy.
Yeah, you should just be happy you're picked. I'm just be grateful.
Look, I'm here to win on Friday night, three championships, pick in the draft to three championships.
Yeah.
And counting, by the way.
Can I have some names of people who were picked ahead of you?
Everybody. Anyone that played.
Danny,
was
if you want to speak up, I need to hear some names of people that you will you please step up over here, Danny? Can you tell us here?
We have Danny Wolniak studio as well.
Been laughing at Nate.
I'm looking up Brenda's tweet.
I just need some names. Who are some names that were looked upon as
because
more athletic?
Because they did the draft on the night of our 100-year birthday party. And so I went to see, like, okay, which team am I on? Because I asked Brenda to draft me because I didn't want to be on Dave Borchardt's team, you know? And so
maybe you should not have tried to tell people to draft
Well,
you.
Maybe not. But But so then I look and I see and I'm like, I was drafted last. I was the last person picked.
Because there was a lot of buzz up in training camp when I was covering the Chiefs last week. People were talking about this and like, oh, I'm, you know, trying to, you know, get drafted together. And there was a lot of collusion going on. And so what's the situation with this, Danny?
Look, we wanted to make sure that we were inclusive and that we invited all media members who cover every sport here in Kansas City. And look, Nate just happened to be the last pick on Brendan Van Langen's board, which is fine. I mean, there were people like Marlia Campbell chosen ahead of you.
Our former intern chosen ahead of you.
Yep.
That's embarrassing.
No, it's not. She's a Division I athlete.
Basketball?
Well,
you play soccer.
I was not a Division I athlete in anything. She was a block leader at Wyoming University.
Who else?
So, you know.
Sounds like they were drafting by height then.
Lewis is on that list. Okay. Aaron Ladd. Look, we're going over with 41
Aaron Ladd got drafted over me?
There it is.
This is ridiculous. Everyone's going to be sorry about this, by the way.
This is great.
And I'm playing in front of the Glowing Dragons, too. The whole team's coming to this game, so I'm definitely going to ask my body to do too much.
That's where it needs to be, right? The support is what's going to encourage you and allow you to have that chip on your shoulder and be successful.
You're
going to
get hurt in front of your team, aren't you? They're going to see their coach go down.
My question, how do you know what your body's capable of if you don't ask it, you know, to do something?
Honestly, he's got a good point.
You
got to
push yourself to limits. Let me tell you something. Every morning when I wake up, my body tells me what I'm not capable of. I have a very good understanding of that. One question I did want to ask you. So then, you know, being away from Kansas City, did you have any idea, like, what a big soccer town Kansas City was? You know, we're getting the World Cup. You know, Sporting Kansas City always has great crowds. You're seeing the support now for the current. Is this something that you just realized, like, when you got to Kansas City, or is there – does Kansas City have a reputation of being a soccer town?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the league since FCKC was around, and when we would come here and play, the support just was not as great as everybody talked about. But everyone talked about what a great soccer town Kansas City was, and
it's changed a lot since then, yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a ton since then, but yeah, everybody always talked about it. They were like, Sporting gets great, whatever, World Cup coming now, but even before that, they would always talk about what a great soccer town it was, but I personally never saw it because I was in the NWSL and FCKC just didn't have the support that whatever we were playing over at Swope and just had bleachers for stands and things like that. So I had no idea, but it's obviously huge and I'm stoked to be here.
And when you get that stadium, that's going to be incredible.
I can't wait.
Okay, so I've asked
by the way, Marco's on the team, was drafted ahead of me too. this whole thing.
Well, he's like 20 years younger than you.
So what?
And so another question
I'm
I
just
going to
make
you
look good out there. Don't worry.
I've asked Nate this. And so when the World Cup comes here, like what team, what country should we root for that would be the coolest to have in Kansas City? I mean, outside the obviously United States or whatever, but like, what country do you think would bring the wildest fans that we should cross our fingers for? Like, what would you like to see in Kansas City? What country?
Oh, that's a good question. Obviously, England winning the Euros. Yeah. That would be sick.
Yeah.
England would be cool. I mean,
all hell would be
breaking loose.
You saw
all of it. Yeah.
Yes.
In Netherlands, honestly, did you guys see when they won the Euros last time? They were rowdy. They had like this whole orange sea of people supporting the women when they won the Euros a couple years ago, 4 years ago. So
I'm in on
probably
England.
Those two. They were England looked wild too, and they won the Euros. It was insane. So they're selling out crowds. They had like 98,000 people at the Euro game.
That's who I want, England.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. So when it comes to that, you talked about what it was like when FCKC was there, and it was really a shame because those teams were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it underscores the concept of what support means, from ownership, facilities, all of that stuff, promotion, you know, what kind of broadcast coverage you're getting, all that does matter. I mean, you can put a really good product out there, but if it doesn't get put in the right context, it won't get the support. We're looking at maybe getting 10,000 fans. Maybe. I'm going to say definitely. We're shooting for 10,000 fans on Friday night for this Angel City game. Angel City has, like, every celebrity from Hollywood is, like, a part. I was looking. I was trying to send Steven some information because I remembered back when they came online into NWSL seeing, like, a lot of celebrity names that were bought in as owners. And so then I went to look at the list so I could send it to Steven, and I was like, this list is too long to send him all the names. But Natalie Portman, Jennifer Garner, you know your actors and actresses a lot better than I do, Steven, but it seems like every one of them is a part owner of this team. What's that like for you? As a person that's been in the league this long, to see the investment here, to see something like Angel City be that cool that all these actors and actresses want to be a part of it as well. How different is it now than maybe when you first started in the league?
Oh, my God. It's literally night and day. When I saw Angel City's lineup for who was being the owner, it was actually just, like, starstruck a little bit. And honestly, yeah. We went and played there. And it's obviously, it's like, you see, like, Jennifer Garner walking around the field. Natalie Portman's on the field pregame. You're like, do I say hi? Like, am I, like, being
Did
such,
you?
Like, a, no. I was like, no, we're just going to play it cool. But
who were you the most starstruck? Like, it would
honestly,
be...
probably, like, Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like she just
one.
Seems, like, so, like...
She's amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean? And, like, during the game, they're showing people on the screen who are in the stands. And I'm like, catch myself. I'm, like, mid-game staring at the jumbo screen. I'm like, Gabrielle Union and her family's in the stands. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
They're here. I'm like, I feel like it's like watching, like, a Lakers game and you see all the stars in the stands. It's, like, the similar feel. But I was, like, very, very starstruck.
Do you kind of wish you would have gotten a picture with one of them, though, now?
Hopefully I have many more opportunities.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Is there a chip on your shoulder? Like, I feel this way whenever, like, the Royals just played the Dodgers.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, yeah. When Sporting plays against LAFC, it's kind of the same thing with Will Ferrell being one of the owners there. But I'm kind of like, as a Kansas City guy, let's show all these people from Hollywood that this is the real deal here. Like, you got all the big names, but we got the real soccer here. Do you?
Yes,
is there a little bit of that, a little chip on the shoulder going into this game?
I mean, maybe not necessarily, like, because of the big stars and stuff, but I think just because they're an expansion team, honestly, is, like, the big thing. I'm like, you guys are new to the league.
Yeah.
Like, let's see, you know. Obviously,
yeah.
We're not very old either, but yeah, I don't know. Not so much like that, but I'm like.
You don't want to give them any bulletin board
Why
material.
Are you trying to
I'm trying,
trouble,
yeah, I'm trying to give
you know.
Bulletin board material.
Okay.
My bad. Real quick to wrap it up, this 10-match stretch. What is the biggest key? What has been the key for you guys to have this run of success?
Yeah, I mean, we had a rough start to the season. I think a little bit of luck, honestly, and then just continuing to grow from game to game. It's like learning, even though you're winning, you're tying, whatever, there's so much to learn from it. So for us, it's just continuing. Like, we let in 3 goals last game. Yeah, we won 4-3, but what can we learn from that? How do we stop that from happening? And then how do we continue to score 4 goals? So let's keep scoring and let less in and just continuing to learn from that. So,
Danny, can you make sure we get footage from this media game, by the way?
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to try to hide this. I need to see.
Oh,
unless
you know,
he scores,
I'm not going to try to hide
see.
It because I'm going to score a hat trick probably
wow.
and win the game for I'm not predicting a hat trick. I'm just predicting one goal. I'm trying to, like, you know, plan out how I'm going to celebrate in front of the glowing dragons when I score.
Can you tell how irritated he is to be the last pick? I mean, you can feel that, right? There's some tension here. Kristen, thank you so much for coming to the studio. We appreciate it.
Are you available to fix things at my house?
Yeah, let's do it. you know my hourly rate.
Yeah, maybe I have to fix a torn hamstring after Friday night. Good luck on Friday. Get that W.
Thank you guys. And thanks.
Just get it. You know, get through it healthy. We need you back here on Monday.
Look, I've got a Chiefs Fantasy Camp MVP plaque in the office. I'm hoping to put a Casey Current Media Game MVP plaque right next.
Is there even one? Is that even okay? There's something to battle for. We'll be back after this on WHB.
I guess since there's nobody else left, I'm going to go with Navy Katie.
That means Mr. Irrelevant is Jason Anderson. WHB. Who is the younger guy? But I don't think. I don't think he answers.